feel like we just need to like get rid of the phrase mom guilt entirely, because honestly, if you're even thinking about that, then that means you're a good mom. You know, like if you ever have that thought of like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or am I, you know, if you're even questioning it, then you already are. And so we just need to like eliminate that phrase.
Welcome to the Moms Who Create podcast. I'm Kelly Heil, a mom, author, and artist, and I'm on a mission to celebrate and empower you. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, I'm sharing my insights and resources, diving into the stories of amazing writers, artists, and entrepreneurs, and helping you rewrite the narrative of balancing motherhood with your creative journey. Grab your coffee, a notebook, and let's get started. This is the Moms Who Create podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Moms Who Create podcast. So, do you like to read rom-coms? Do you love Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks in the 90s? Well, you're going to love today's guest, or maybe you already love her. Her name's Fallon Ballard. Fallon is quite the successful author who loves to write about love. She also has an undying affection for exclamation points and isn't ashamed to admit it. I do that too. If you text me, I could not like crack a smile on my face, but I will send like 10 exclamation points after a word. That's just who we are. We're embracing it. So Fallon is a native of Los Angeles, and when she's not writing fictional love stories, she's helping real life couples celebrate, working as a wedding planner in Southern California. She has a deep appreciation for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She is a Disneyland devotee, and she loves reality television. If she's not busy wrangling her 9-year-old, you can probably find her drinking wine and posting a picture on Instagram while simultaneously snarking on Twitter, because multitasking. You've probably heard of her books, Lease on Love, Just My Type, and tomorrow, the 27th, you guys, her new book, Right on Cue, comes out. You'll hear her talk about it, but don't forget to get it tomorrow. So exciting. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, because Fallon really is awesome. Okay. Fallon, too excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you.
The first book I read from you, Just My Type, with like book talk and everything. I usually find authors and find new books that I want to read from social media. It's just like how life is these days, right? Or like, you know, recommendations on my Kindle Unlimited. Well, I was at, it was one of my local bookstores, and I was just perusing, and I saw that book, and I was like, that looks good. My favorite color is purple. I see like a typewriter or whatever. I was like, okay, I'm going to read that one. And then that's how I discovered you, which I feel like is so rare lately for anyone to just, you know, usually we go and we're like, this is the book. This is the one I'm going to buy. Oh, good. It's here. Anyway, but I'm so glad that I was at the bookstore that day and I found that purple book and I loved it, because then I followed you on social media and now I get to talk to you. So all that to say, thank you so much, Fallon, for joining me today. And I can't wait to talk about your books and mom life.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And yeah, I feel very blessed that I have like the best book covers in the entire world, which obviously has nothing to do with me whatsoever. But they really are just so gorgeous. And you're not the first person to tell me that. They're like, oh, I'd never heard of your book. And then I saw this adorable cover and I picked it up and I was like, amazing. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. They say don't judge a book by this cover, and you don't, but like that helps, like the cover, what it looks like,
yeah,
could help entice you to get it, you know, like I saw the purple and
we all do it. You know, I totally pick up books because I'm like, oh my God, that cover is so cute.
Right.
It's fine. Just go.
Right. But the story was better. So I'm glad that it made me read it. For those people listening that haven't read your books or heard of you yet, which probably isn't many because they're so good. Go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone.
Yeah. So I am Fallon Ballard. My third book is coming out. Well, as we're recording this, it's coming out in about a week. So maybe as you're listening, it's already out in the world. And I write rom-coms. And I just have the absolute most fun with it. My first book was Lease on Love, which is a roommates to lovers. And then Just My Type, which is a second chance romance. And then my third book is Right on Cue, which is enemies to lovers. about two actors who hate each other who get cast as leads in a rom-com. So very meta, that one.
Love it. Oh, man. Yes. So I know that you've had like a life, you've had other things that you've done before you really started writing, as far as the, you know, these books you just talked about. So what inspired you to become a writer? And then tell us about your author journey.
Yeah, so I always wrote. I have been like a writer, quote unquote, basically my whole life. I actually was just doing a panel like a week ago, and I was talking about how I think I was like 11 or 12, and I basically like wrote a novel, quote unquote, that was just like very thinly veiled, like self-insert fanfic about me and Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Stop it.
So, I'm very glad I do not still have that, because
I wish you did, though.
I'm so glad I don't. Like, the embarrassment, I can't even imagine what that looked like. But
everyone our age would read it, though, because I would read it, because I was also obsessed and had like JTT posters on my wall.
I mean, he was just like, ugh, so cute. Yeah, so I always have been a writer in some way, shape, or form. I did get my degree in creative writing when I went to college, but I went like pretty much straight into teaching when I graduated. And I found that while I was teaching, I did not have a lot of creative brain space left at the end of the day to do much of anything else. So it wasn't until I left teaching that I really sat down and was like, okay, I am going to actually try to write a book. And I didn't really know what that was going to look like. I didn't know if it was just going to be like something for fun, something just for me. You know, I sort of like just did it because I needed to, like I couldn't not do it almost. And then, you know, the sort of more professional aspirations kind of stemmed from there.
Well, this episode is for next Monday. So this is going to come out on the 26th. So to those who are listening now, her book will be out tomorrow. So go ahead and get it tomorrow. That's exciting. So exciting.
Thank you.
So you do like wedding planning and stuff like that too. You live in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. I live in Orange County, but I work in Los Angeles.
Okay. Yeah. So I feel like a lot of your just kind of day-to-day life and what you do is kind of put into your books too. And I feel like that, does that give you some inspiration about like plot ideas and like occupations and stuff to put in your books? Like, you just stem that from real life, what you're going through?
Yeah. I think the thing that I really pull the most from is I really have like a front row seat to watching all different kinds of couples communicate with each other. Yeah. And that is like the most insightful and amazing tool ever. Like, I don't know that I would ever write a book about a wedding planner. Like, I feel like that's just like a little too kind of close to home for me. Like, I need a little bit of separation. But I think even like without knowing it, a lot of times I just take things that I see. It's not so much like, oh, I'm taking this plot or I'm taking this conversation, but I'm watching the way that couples handle their problems, handle their stress, handle their excitement, and seeing, you know, how they deal with those like really ramped up emotions, because obviously your wedding day is stressful and exciting and wonderful and amazing. And also like a lot of times people by the end of it are like, I just want it to be done, you know, because it's so much work. So really just like seeing how couples relate to each other in those intense situations, that I think just gives me a lot of insight into how couples work. And like, I know that like the miscommunication trope is hated pretty much universally, but even in like the really good, strong relationships I see, which is, you know, most of my couples that are getting married, like, it's still an issue. Like, to me, it's the most like realistic problem that like most couples are facing in their real relationships. And so I sort of get to look at that and have like a little bird's eye view of it, which is kind of cool.
That's amazing. I bet you see all different kinds of relationships and how people kind of like vibe with each other, from like the bridezillas to, do you ever have a groomzilla? Yeah. Is that a thing? Or do they not care?
I mean, like, the number one question I get asked when I tell people I'm a wedding planner is like, oh, the bride's list must be awful. And I'm like, no, the brides are fine. Like, honestly. And I think this is also too a product of working in LA is like, for the most part, my couples are like very laid back and very relaxed. Mm. But groomzillas, I have had a few of them and they are the absolute worst. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you get like a picky bride, like, I feel like I'm still able to have a conversation with them about like, you might want this thing, but it's not going to work. And let me tell you why. And like, they'll get it and be like, okay, great. Like, a groomzilla is like, it's the worst.
Imagine. Oh my goodness.
I was talking to somebody, like a person I work with who works at the venues that I work at. And I was like, I always hate it when like the groom is the one to reach out to me first, because you never know what kind of a groom they're going to be. And of course, most of them are lovely and fine and totally, you know, easy to work with. But you just never know when you're going to get that one. I'm like, we're like, things that I could just say to a bride, like, oh, this isn't how you do this. They like don't accept that. They're just like, well, why? And I'm like, well, because I've coordinated 200 weddings.
Right.
You have to trust that I know what I'm talking about. You have to give them so many more like step-by-step instructions as to how you got there. Mm,
that could be definitely worse than a bridezilla. Oh, for sure. And then in like the area. See, I'm from the Midwest and I feel like men could not care less about the wedding. You know, just have the bride do it, ask them a question. I don't care. Just give me a camo tux and we're good.
I mean, there's a lot of those out here. Not the camo tux, but the not caring. There's a lot of that too.
Oh man. I have to ask, even though you're the one who hasn't come out until next week, are you working on another book? I'm sure you are.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always working on something. I have, I actually have two books coming out this year. So I have another book that right now is slated for like late September, October. We'll see kind of where we end up, but I have a holiday book coming out, that is about two romance authors who get snowed in at their publisher's like Christmas party. So that one is super fun. So I'm like finalizing that one right now. And then I am also working on edits for my 2025 book, which will probably come out in February of 2025 at some point in time. So we're just starting that one. Yeah.
That's so exciting. I can't wait to come out. I'm already like, okay, good. It sounds, I can see it playing in my head. They're there at their little get together and They probably butt heads.
Yeah. So they used to date each other, but they broke up when they got their book deals. And she's basically like a mid-list author, you know, like she still has to have a day job. And he's like super successful and gets all the movie deals and like the bestseller lists, but none of his romance books have a happy ending. And so there's a lot of contention between the two.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's going to be good. I'm so excited. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I had fun with it.
Oh, now, of course, you're a mom, right? You wouldn't be on the podcast if you're not a mom. Yeah. So you've had a lot of success in the past few years. Of everything you've done recently and just everything that you do, you have a child, you have a son, and he's 9. So talk to me a little bit about how do you balance your creative life, your writing life with mom life?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously not easy and I feel like it's always a work in progress and I don't feel like there's necessarily like one right way or even one way for me that I always do things. You know, I sort of have to, I think that's like one of the biggest things as a mom is like, you have to be flexible. Because your one day isn't always going to look like the next day and you kind of have to go with the flow a little bit, which for me, it was interesting because I started writing Lease on Love like in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So my son was in kindergarten at that time, kindergarten and then first grade. So, you know, he did first grade all online. Which meant I also did first grade online.
Because my oldest is in first grade right now. So I'm just thinking of doing that with her online. And that had to be rough. And
it was rough.
They couldn't even learn. Oh, Man,
yeah. Kudos to you. Was like, yeah, that was the hardest part about like the first grade is like, obviously, like they don't have the skills to sit in front of a computer and like actually learn at that point in time. Like I really had to be there the whole time and like handhold and keep them focused and do all of that. And so what I did during that point in time is like, I would write at night after he went to bed and then have to wake up in the morning and, you know, do online school. And so that was really hard, obviously. But I just kind of like, I needed those hours at the end of the day where it was like just for me. And I was having like a little bit of like an escape. And I, that's actually one of the reasons why Lease on Love is set in New York, is because I was like, I need to be like as far away mentally as like I possibly can. And that sort of allowed me to do that. And then of course, like as he's gotten older, things have sort of changed a little bit. Obviously now we're back in like in-person school. So like for me, you know, like a normal day is like, while he's at school, I get my work done. He's, I'm editing, I'm, you know, drafting, I'm working on whatever I need to do. And then, you know, when he gets home from school, then I sort of like shift into mom mode and do the mom things that I need to do. I will say like having an only child, I think has been a benefit because he's extremely independent. And there are definitely times when I'm like, oh, I need to jump on this phone call, or I need to do this podcast interview, you know, whatever it is I need to do. And I can just be like, I need you to just like entertain yourself for 40 minutes. Don't die. You can interrupt me if you're bleeding, but like,
otherwise. Yes, you can have 3 cookies. That's fine.
I'm like, you get unlimited screen time while I have to do the thing I need to do. And he's very good about that in those moments when I need to. But right now for me, it's really working to sort of like mold my schedule to his schedule. And, you know, he's at school in the morning, so that's when I'm going to get my work done. And then when he's home, that's when we're going to, you know, do mom and kid stuff. And obviously it doesn't always work out like that.
Right.
It is what it is. You know, sometimes you have to make changes on the fly, but that has really helped me to have like a little bit more of a consistent schedule. And in this point in time, it makes sense to make my consistent schedule his consistent schedule. So we're all kind of, you know, on the same page there. But really, truly, like I like the this is so hard because like I feel like the number one thing that I need to be able to do what I do is I have a partner who's extremely supportive. And when I'm like, you have to take this over right now, he just does it. And yeah, having that is really essential. Like that, I don't know how I would do it without that. So that is like one of the main things, is just being able to, in those moments when I need the backup, just be like, you're up. Aww, your turn to take over.
And having a good partner, husband, I mean, that's, it can be vital in what you get done and what you do. So that's awesome that you have that support system. Love
for
that.
Sure. And I don't know that my, I don't know, this is always so hard because I feel like advice for balancing for moms is so subjective and so, you know, dependent on what your personal, you know, household looks like. But I would just say, like, I think just as moms in general, it's so important for us to remember that we're also people, and being a mom is not your whole entire identity. And it can be very easy, especially I feel like when the kids are really young, to just, you're just so focused on, you know, making sure they stay alive that it's like, sometimes we forget that there are other things in life too. And I think that that's totally normal, but I think, you know, holding a space for yourself to be, you know, whoever you want to be is so important. And I think it's like so essential that your kids see that. Like, I love that I get to take my kid to the bookstore and be like, hey, those are my books on the shelf. And like, he, you know, knows all about that and is like so excited when I have a book release. And like, I'll go like sign stock in a bookstore and he'll be like, I want to be in the picture, like to take it on social media, you know, and it just that. Like, I think it's really important for him to see that this is my amazing husband bringing me coffee.
Hello, amazing husband. You're amazing. We get you. You probably.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Love it. Oh, I love it.
Okay. Have a good day. Anyway, yeah. Be flexible, moms. I think that's huge and important, but also, you know, making that space for yourself and allowing yourself to have that without feeling guilty. You know, like, I think we're so quick to be like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I should be spending time with my kid.
You're modeling this life for him. You're modeling, hey, you can totally like attain these dreams that you want to do. You can be a bestseller. You can be on the bookshelf in the store, you know, and go to all these events and do all these things. It's important that we model life for them and show them that, you know, yeah, we're a mom, we're moms, but we also do this, like, look at this cool thing we do when we make time for this. And that's so important. And a lot of people will get lost in, some people get mad when I say things like, some people get lost in just the thought of motherhood, that they think they can't do anything else. And it's like, no, if I take time for myself, that mom guilt comes in and it's like, well, then I'm not a good mom. No, that's not it at all.
I feel like we just need to like get rid of the phrase mom guilt entirely, because honestly, if you're even thinking about that, then that means you're a good mom. You know, like if you ever have that thought of like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or am I, you know, if you're even questioning it, then you already are. And so we just need to like eliminate that phrase.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. And thank you for talking with me today, Fallon.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. Anytime I get to have a conversation with an adult, I'm like, yes, this is amazing.
Same. Same. Me too. Again, if you're listening on this episode release date, which is February 26th, Fallon's book comes out tomorrow, Tuesday, the 27th, called Right on Cue. So exciting. Congratulations on another new release. And I'm also excited for the one coming out, your holiday one this year. That's exciting.
Yeah, that one's actually, it's already up for pre-order. It's called All I Want Is You. And it has, again, another adorable cover that I had nothing to do with. And it's so
cute. No, don't say that, because if you didn't write the book, there would be nothing to make a cover for. So even though you didn't, even though you weren't the designer or illustrator, it still goes hand in hand. There would be no cover without your book. So stop that.
Thank you.
But they are good covers. They are.
If you want to hear from me on more days than just Mondays, go to momswhocreate.com and sign up for my newsletter. I don't send out a lot of emails, maybe one every week or maybe one every 2 weeks, but I try to pack it with some goodness, some inspiration, what women are doing in the arts, and things along that line. So again, momswhocreate.com, you'll see it pop up or in there somewhere, and just sign up for the newsletter. Also follow me and the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Moms Who Create Podcast and at Kelly Heil. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will be back next week with another mom/author. You guys have a good week.